Ladies and gentlemen, tonight Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild players in RKO's delightful farce, Bachelor Mother. It stars David Niven as David Merlin, Ginger Rogers as Polly Parrish, and Francis X. Bushman as J.B. Merlin. The Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Bachelor Mother. Our story begins on the day before Christmas, the day Polly Parrish lost her job in the department store owned by J.B. Merlin and his son, David. So, naturally, Polly went job hunting during her lunch hour. But she didn't find a job. She found a baby. The baby was wrapped in a blanket and lying in front of an orphanage door when Polly walked past. Well, almost walked past. She ran up to the step, picked up the baby, and rang the orphanage doorbell. She was standing there holding the baby when a matron opened the door.
Oh, hello. I want to give you this baby. I found it here.
Your name, please?
Polly Parrish. I was just passing by.
Are you employed anywhere?
I'm at Merlin's department. Say, why all the questions?
Well, we must know these things before we'll take your baby.
My baby? Oh, you don't understand. I was just walking along the street and I saw it lying here in the corner.
We're only here trying to help you, my dear.
Well, you're certainly being a great help. I got fired from my job today and now you want to give me...
My dear... Many mothers say babies are not their own.
Now, look here. This is ridiculous. This is not my baby. I tell you, I was just walking past the place and I saw the baby and I picked it up and...
Happy day before Christmas. Fired and an unexpected mother. And that was just the beginning. Before Polly Parrish could break away from the orphanage matron, who insisted that Polly was the mother of the baby, Polly's lunch hour was over. And she hurried back to finish her last day at J.B. Merlin & Sons department store. Soon after, a store messenger came to Polly and led her to the office of David Merlin, the son in J.B. Merlin & Son. The matron from the orphanage was with him.
Come right in, Mrs.
Miss Parrish.
Miss Parrish?
I'm David Merlin, Miss Parrish. After talking to this lady from the orphanage, I'm convinced your discharge was a great mistake.
Tragedy is for the word, Mr. Merlin.
So the job is yours for as long as you care to have it.
Oh, thank you.
And you're being raised $5 a week. We want you to realize, Miss Parrish, that Merlin's department store is the store with a heart. Now, I want to wish you and yours a very, very Merry Christmas.
Oh, well, thank you, and the same to you. Goodbye, Mr. Merlin.
Goodbye. She's a very nice-looking girl.
Oh, yes, the poor, poor thing.
You know, I can just see the ecstasy that'll be on her face tonight when she receives her real Christmas present from J.B. Merlin and Son.
You heard what I said?
What?
You heard what I... I said you heard what I said. You take that baby out of this apartment this minute.
I beg your pardon, miss. This child was sent special rush by J.B. Merlin and Son. Merry Christmas. Good night.
Come back here and get this baby. Oh, listen, kid, this is nothing personal. Oh, I'd love to have you around, but I really couldn't do right by you. Here, take your thumb out of your mouth and give your teeth a chance. All right, ruin your face. Who is it?
Fred, you ready to go stepping, baby?
You said it, kid. Come in, Fred.
Hey, all ready to go. Is that yours?
No, it isn't mine.
Well, where did it come from?
I got it for Christmas.
Huh? You don't mean Santa Claus.
Look, I don't know what you're thinking, but you're all wrong.
Sure, sure, of course.
Just as soon as I get my coat and hat on, we'll go.
Well, now, look,
Don't worry about a thing, Fred. It's all right, baby, let's go.
Hey, you mean we're taking the kid, too?
Certainly. Why wait till the after-Christmas rush to exchange a present you can't use? I'm going to play Santa Claus, too, at the residence of J.B. Merlin and Son. The son of a gun.
Yes, miss?
Is this the home of Mr. David Merlin?
Yes, miss.
Well, I must see him. It's a personal matter. He'll know what it's about when he sees me.
Well, couldn't you write him a letter?
Do you think this came as a postcard?
I really couldn't say, miss. However, I may say that it will be impossible for you to see Mr. David Merlin.
All right, then. You take the baby. That's the way I got it.
But here, miss, you can't do this to me.
And tell Mr. David Merlin that Miss Parrish left it here. And he'll have to use his influence to get it back at that orphanage. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Rock-a-bye, baby. Mr. Merlin. On the treetop. Mr. David. When the wind blows. Shut up.
How about letting a fella in for a smoke, Polly?
Oh, it's 2 a.m., Fred, and I have to get up early.
Oh, come on, let me in for just a minute.
I said no. Come on, go on, go home, Fred.
No, I don't feel like that, Polly. You said no once, now let me in.
But,
perhaps you didn't understand the young lady.
Hmm? Who's Mr. Merlin? Well, I was just... No, that is... well, Polly, good night, Mr. Merlin. Good night!
Well, how did you get in here, Mr. Merlin?
The landlady let us in.
Us?
Your baby and me. Miss Parrish, I have seen some low things in my time, but a mother who would abandon her child just to go out on a date...
Would it interest you to know that I am not the mother of that child?
All right, so you're not the mother. You're not employed either.
You're firing me?
I have fired you, and as you go from place to place hunting a job, you will find that no store in the Merchants of America Association, of which I am junior chairman, will hire you. I'll see to that.
Why, that's persecution.
And that'll be just the beginning, Miss Parrish, believe me. Now... Do you want to keep your baby and get your job back, or do you want to be jailed for child abandonment?
But, well, you don't give me much choice. I'd like to have my job back.
Ah, that's much better. And as the years go by, Miss Parrish, and you and your manly little son stroll into life's sunset together, you'll thank me for saving you from this terrible temptation.
Well, I'm not as bad as you think.
Well, then why did you do it?
Well... There was no one I could turn to.
What about your husband, the baby's father?
Huh? Well, you see, we were never formally introduced.
Oh. Poor child. Well, I must be going. Now, don't worry about a thing.
Thank you, Mr. Merlin.
That's all right. Good night, Miss Parrish.
Good night, Mr. Merlin. Just a second, kid. Oh, what am I going to do with you? Have you any ideas? All right. But don't blame me if you get stuck with a safety pin. And I'm just an amateur at folding, too. Who is it?
The landlady, Mrs. Weiss. Could I maybe come in a minute?
Why?
What are you trying to do? Hide the baby? Oh, I know about it. I know. Oh, you. Just like you, it looks.
Huh? Are you kidding?
Certainly not. I'm not from babies. And for you, this baby, I'm taking care of personally while you're working.
Oh, listen to him talking. Talking? What's he saying?
Who knows with that dialect?
Morning, Polly.
Don't talk too loud, Fred. You'll wake me up.
I get it. Walking the floor with the baby, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the baby, Polly, how's about your getting me a little better job in this joint?
What are you driving at?
Of course, I suppose I could pass my information along to David's old man, J.B. Do myself some good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The baby. David's baby.
David Merlin's baby? I didn't even know he was married.
Well, if you don't, nobody does. But regardless of that, don't forget to tell him I want a better job.
Come on, baby. Eat. Eat now. Oh, here. Look at Mama. Look. You certainly go in for sophisticated entertainment. Come in.
Hello.
Oh, Hello, Mr. Merlin.
Miss Parrish, do you realize this is New Year's Eve?
Oh, well, I'll take your word for it. The way I feel, it could be New Year's morning.
Well, it suddenly occurred to me that you must be having a pretty bad evening. I'm going to a New Year's party, and I thought you'd like to come along.
Well, I'd like to go, but I can't leave the baby.
Well, I've already spoken to your landlady. She'd be glad to watch it.
Oh, well, there's something else.
What?
Look, me with a sweater and skirt. We'd make half of a very lovely couple.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll take care of the clothes. We'll go down to the store, take a complete outfit from stock. Evening gown, slippers, mink coat. Oh, and if you promise not to tell a soul, I might slip you a pair of nylons.
Oh, David, I think you've been drinking. Excuse me. Hello?
It's Fred, Polly.
Yes?
I thought I told you to have your sweetie get me a better job in the store.
What are you talking about?
David Merlin. I know he's there now. I saw him go in. You tell him to get me a decent job tomorrow, or I'll...
You'll what?
I'll tell his old man who the father of that baby is.
All right, go ahead. And Freddie.
Yeah?
If you find out who the mother is, let me know.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and this year is Lady Esther's 30th anniversary year. I'm going to celebrate both Mother's Day and my 30th anniversary by doing something nice for you. I'm going to declare a 30th anniversary beauty dividend, a truly remarkable value, a perfect little Mother's Day gift. Your dealer has my surprise anniversary package for you. It contains a giant-sized jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, enough for months of the finest care you can give your skin. And also you get a large boudoir-sized box of Lady Esther face powder in bridal pink, my fascinating new shade that's so flattering to skin of almost every coloring. The giant-sized jar of cream sells regularly for $1.38. The large box of powder sells regularly for 55 cents. Both together represent a value of $1.93, and both are yours. This big $1.93 value is yours for only 98 cents. You actually save 95 cents, a double value offer much too good to miss. Remember, it is Lady Esther four-purpose face cream you receive, plus the exciting new bridal pink shade of Lady Esther face powder, each the finest aid money can buy to keep your skin looking younger and prettier. So make a note and don't let yourself forget it. Ask your dealer for Lady Esther's 30th anniversary package, the big $1.93 value for only 98 cents, on which you save 95 cents. Would that be a wonderful gift for Mother's Day, which is next Sunday?
And now the second act of Bachelor Mother, starring Ginger Rogers, Francis X. Bushman, and David Niven. Well, several hours have passed, and it's very early in the morning of New Year's Day. Polly and David are just returning to Polly's apartment from their New Year's Eve party.
Won't you come in, David?
Why, yes, I was afraid you wouldn't ask me.
Why?
Well, after the way you brushed that Fred person aside the other night.
Oh, well, he hadn't kissed me.
He hadn't? Well, I suppose I shouldn't have, but... Well, it was the stroke of midnight and New Year's Eve, and...
And
it's just midnight New Year's Eve again.
It is?
Mm-hmm. In Chicago.
Hmm.
Happy New Year in Chicago.
Hmm. Same to you.
I think I will come in.
Ah, good.
You'll stay up, and we'll welcome in the New Year in Denver and Los Angeles and Honolulu. I can think of a million places.
Well, let's go in and shut the door.
Miss Parrish.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Weiss.
The baby's asleep. Well, he was asleep.
I'll put him back to sleep.
Then I'll go now. Soon my boy Jerome is coming home from playing the piccoletti all night. Jerome, he plays in a swinging band. What a dizzy way to make a living. In a hammock yet.
I don't know how to thank you, Mrs. Weiss.
The stars in your eyes is thanks enough for me. Only one thing, please. Promise in the morning to tell me all about the evening.
I will, Mrs. Weiss, and good night.
Good night.
I guess he decided to wait up and see his Uncle David.
Well, you've come a long way from the girl who wouldn't even admit it was her child.
Well, this is a very unusual baby.
Well, I don't know why it should be.
I guess it's heredity.
Oh, sure.
And what's the matter with me?
Well, what about the other 50%? You said yourself you didn't even know who he is.
Well, I don't.
Well, you see.
But I know someone who does.
Who's that?
Fred.
What's he know about it?
He won't tell me. But he's going to tell your father the name of the baby's father. Oh, come in.
Is my son here?
Dad, what are you doing here?
Well, I was just driving around. I happened to see your car parked outside, and so I thought I'd stop in.
Polly, this is my father. Dad, Miss Parrish.
How do you do?
How do you do? And who's this?
This is Miss Parrish's little boy.
A boy? Would you mind if I was very careful? Would you let me hold him just a minute?
Oh, of course. Here, take him.
Thank you, my dear. Yes, he was. See? He knows me. Yes, and I know that chin anywhere. What's his name?
John.
John? John what?
John B.
Oh. Well, thanks for that anyway. Rock-a-bye.
What's he driving at?
You ought to know he's your father.
What did you say?
Mr. Merlin, is there anything I can do?
You've already done it, my dear. But perhaps you'd better hold little John B. He doesn't seem to recognize me as yet.
Of course, this is the first time he's seen you.
True, but after all, blood is thicker than water, you know.
Dad, you're acting rather strangely. Do you feel all right?
I'll discuss this with you at home. Goodbye, miss.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, John B. Cookie, cookie, cookie.
Well, David, he knows if you don't.
Knows what?
I think Freddie told him, all right.
Told him? Told him what?
That this baby is your father's grandson.
Oh, well, that's very obvious to... What?
And he certainly sounded as though he believed it.
Holy mackerel! This is Christmas... Polly!
Sit down, David, and take it easy. I know just how you feel.
Is Dad up yet, Phillips?
He's in the dining room, sir.
What is his mood?
Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes, well, here goes nothing. Dad, I have to talk to you.
I do the talking. Young man... Marriage was good enough for your father and mother, and it's good enough for you. You're going to marry that girl. You're going to bring my grandson into this house.
Now, just a second. I've got something to tell you.
Don't start that with me. You know my temper.
I don't care about your temper. You haven't any grandson.
How can you deny it? I've received information. I saw you with the girl. I saw your baby.
That's not my baby.
Don't lie to me. I got the information in the letter. And even if I didn't have it, if I saw that baby on a desert island by himself, I'd know he was my grandson. He looks exactly like me.
Dad, will you let me say something?
No! My mind's made up! Nobody's going to fool around with my grandson. I'm going to take him away from you. You aren't fit to be his father.
I'm not his father.
You're crazy! That's what's the matter with you. You're unbalanced. Here. Where are you going?
To see your grandson.
What about?
Find out who his father is.
Phillips!
Yes, sir?
Bring me some more dishes.
Polly, This is terrible.
Terrible? What?
For J.B., the dad, he thinks that...
I know. He thought Johnny was yours. No.
No, look, this is no laughing matter. He's going to take the baby away.
I'd like to see him.
Well, that's because you don't know him. He'll get lawyers and investigators and use his influence. He'll get the baby away from you.
But he can't do that. It belongs to me. Look, we've got to stop him.
But how can we?
Take me to your father. Let me talk to him. I'll convince him that...
He won't believe you either. He's gone off his head. He even wanted me to marry you.
Oh.
Wants to set me up with a ready-made family so he can have a grandson. I tell you, this is serious.
Yes. Yes, it would be serious marrying me, wouldn't it?
I didn't realize how that sounded. I'm...
David, will you please go?
Look, I didn't mean that, Polly. I am sorry. Look, well, now, don't you worry. I'll think of something to get you out of the spot you're in.
Oh, you will. Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Merlin. But I wouldn't dream of putting you to so much trouble. I'm perfectly capable of handling this myself, and I promise you, by this time tomorrow, your poor, innocent child will have a new father.
Mr. J.B. Merlin will see you now. This way, please.
Thank you. Now, be careful, Jerome. Don't forget what I told you to say.
Not the chance. I got it all wrote out here on my shirt cuff.
Mr. and Mrs. Jerome Weiss.
Mr. and Mrs. Weiss? I thought my son introduced you as Miss Parrish.
Oh, that's the name I use in the store. We've been married for 2 years, you see.
Yeah, that's right. 2 years.
Your son, David, you see, just called, and there seemed to be a slight misunderstanding about our baby.
Ain't that a laugh? When my wife, Polly, here, was first telling me, I couldn't believe she met my baby.
Your baby?
Sure. Ain't he the image of his papa? That faraway look in his eyes?
Yes, and they're both bald-headed. So, you see... Mr. Merlin, there's no need sending anyone to investigate the baby. It's just a waste of time.
I can't believe it. It's as though there'd been a death in the family.
Dad! Dad!
That sounds like my son.
Dad, I got great news for you.
You have, David?
Now, I want to present Fred Boggins. He's the father of Miss Parrish's baby.
What's that you said, David?
Go ahead, Fred. Tell him.
Mr. Merlin, my wife's a very nervous woman. My son is my son. And I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't send any investigators around to make any trouble for us.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
David, do you know who this is?
Who? Where?
Sitting over there in the corner.
Polly, who's the man?
That's the father she brought. You two seem to have slipped up someplace. You've got one too many fathers. And I'm going to prosecute both of these men.
Oh, Mr. Merlin, your son made me do this. I'll tell you the truth, and I know what I'm talking about. Your son is the father of that baby.
He's lying, Dad. That worm with Miss Parrish must be the father.
Don't you believe it. I'm only the landlady's son. I'm not the father.
I don't care who the father is. I'm the grandfather.
Polly, where is she? She's gone.
Gone? She'll take the baby. Catch her. I want my grandson.
Polly, let me in, quick.
Get away from there.
Open this door. Let me in before my father gets here. I've got to tell you something.
I don't care. I'll never open it. Get away. You get out of here. You're not going to get this baby.
I'm not trying to take your baby away from you.
Then leave me alone. You've caused me nothing but trouble ever since the first time I saw you. You know so darn much.
Polly, listen, please.
No, I won't.
You must. You don't know what I've been going through since you threw me out of here this afternoon. I thought I was doing all this because I wanted to help you, but now I know better.
So do I. You're just a busybody.
Maybe, but I'm also in love, Polly, with you. Huh? It's the truth. You've got to believe me.
Oh, David... Do you mean it?
I can prove it. It must still be New Year's Eve somewhere.
Oh, David.
My darling.
Well, so I found you. I knew it. I knew it all the time. Well, David, what do you say now?
I confess, Dad. I am the father of that child.
Those are the first true words that have passed your lips in 48 hours. Come on, Johnny. Your parents are all tangled up. Let them straighten it out. You're going with your grandfather. Now, when you two can come to me as an honest married couple, you'll be very welcome. Until then, good day. Come, John B. the Second.
Well, I guess that's that.
Well, you heard what Grandpa said. Let's go.
Do you really mean that?
I got the license on the way down.
You mean you're willing to spend your life with a ready-made family?
If the family is you and Johnny.
You know something, David?
What, darling?
I'll bet this is the first time in history that a baby ever gave birth to a mother and father.
Thank you, David Niven, Francis X. Bushman, and Ginger Rogers, for a most delightful half hour.
It was lots of fun to be here, Mr. Bradley. All of us in Hollywood welcome an invitation to appear with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players because we know how much this program contributes to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and the wonderful work it does at its country house. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Rogers. Ladies, let me remind you again to get your Lady Esther Anniversary Package. You'll find it's really an extraordinary value. This special package, now being featured at stores all over the country, is my beauty dividend to you on my 30th anniversary. It gives you a most generous supply of both Lady Esther Face Powder and Lady Esther Face Cream, your two basic beauty aids, at a saving of almost half. And incidentally, it would be an excellent and welcome Mother's Day gift. Mother's Day is next Sunday, you know. In my anniversary package, you receive the large-sized jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, the size that regularly sells for $1.38. Also, you get the large boudoir-size 55-cent box of Lady Esther bridal pink face powder. Together, the large jar of Lady Esther face cream and the large box of Lady Esther face powder represent a value of $1.93. But in my anniversary... In other words, you save 95 cents, and you are supplied for months with these basic beauty aids that are all you need to keep your skin looking smoother, prettier, younger. So do surely see your dealer tomorrow for your Lady Esther Anniversary Package, and perhaps one or more as Mother's Day gifts for next Sunday.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present The Talk of the Town. It will star Virginia Bruce, Alan Jocelyn, and Ronald Coleman. Be sure to listen. Bachelor Mother was presented through the courtesy of RKO Radio Pictures, producers of From This Day Forward, starring Joan Fontaine. Ginger Rogers will soon be seen in Sam Wood's RKO release, Heartbeat. David Niven appeared through the courtesy of Samuel Goldwyn, and will soon be seen in the Hal Wallace production for Paramount, The Perfect Marriage. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night, everyone. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.